Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
We've talked many times on this show about alcohol addiction and the various different services and programs that are out there to support people in terms of their recovery. But I want to talk about this event. There's a convention taking place in County Clare in the coming weeks. It's really to focus on young people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And Niamh is with me today on the line because, Niamh, you're one of the organisers, or you're involved in the organising of the event in Clare. Will you just put it into context for us, first of all? Are more young people presenting at the AA?
Absolutely, 100% they are. And it's great. It's really good to see. It's good to see anybody coming in into AA, actually, you know. But this convention, which is happening in the Falls Hotel, starting on the Friday the 28th of February, it's for young people, but it's for any age group at all. It's for people who feel young at heart. So to give you an example, like, I'm 59 years of age. I'm on the organisation committee. And how I got involved was basically, I was only a year sober myself, to be honest with you. And I heard that there was this young people's convention happening. At the time, it was happening up in Carrigan-Shannon. And being the nosy person that I am, I said, God, I'll have to go and check this out. So I went up, it was in the Bush Hotel in Carrigan-Shannon, and there was about 200 young people there. And the fun and the liveliness and the camaraderie, and everybody was talking to everybody. And as an alcoholic, that can be quite strange, because very often as alcoholics, we tend, you know, particularly in the latter stages, we tend to be quite loners, and, you know, loneliness can be a huge thing there, you know. So I went along to this convention, and there was people there, and they were in their teens, and there was people there, and they were in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And those older people were passing on the message to the younger people. So over the years, I would have gone to the conventions and that sort of stuff. And I go to AA all the time, you know, because I need to. And last year it was asked, you know, would anybody help out next year? And I said, yeah, I will, because if I can pass this message on or anything that I've learned in life, I'll pass it on. So, yeah, that's how I got involved in it.
So when you say it's encouraging, Niamh, to see more people going to AA meetings or to, you know, to seek out help or support, is it because there's more people with alcohol addiction issues, or is it that more people just feel more comfortable to seek help?
I think it's because people feel more comfortable seek help, but also they're looking at other people. They're looking at people, you know, their own age, who are young people in sport or wherever in the workplace, and they don't need drink to have a good time, you know. And there is a cohort of people like myself, you know, who are alcoholics, who mentally think about drinking, you know, and want to have a drink. And to have freedom from that way of life and to come in early into, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous or a drink-free life is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. So I think it's a combination that there's more awareness around the dangers of alcohol and there's more awareness of the recovery programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's more awareness like of our convention, you know, which is happening, you know, and that sort of and people want a better way of life.
So stay with me, Niamh, for a few moments, because we've some callers here too, actually, with us about this. The email as well, I should say, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Mark is on the line. Mark, I believe your life has been affected by alcohol.
Yes, hello. Yeah, my life has been affected by alcohol. I can definitely stand by that statement. It's, you know, like I started drinking like most people do in my teens and went through the whole college binge drinking where everyone seemed to be doing it. And, you know, as I got into my mid-20s, people started tapering off, kind of getting into their routines. And I found that my drinking just kept escalating and escalating and escalating, you know, and it got to the point where I really couldn't envision a life without alcohol. It seemed impossible to me. Despite being miserable, you know, I felt just completely at the mercy of drink. And, you know, I moved abroad then, you know, kind of seeking a better life, hoping to figure myself out. Mm. And I was without friends there. And, you know, my drinking, it went from, you know, drinking with others to drinking alone. And the problem became very, very apparent at that point.
Can I ask roughly what age you were around then, Mark?
Around then, so I'm now 27 and I'm about 7 months sober. So I was 26 at that time. But in the lead up to that, there was a good, I'd say, 5 years where there was a part of me that was aware that alcohol was a problem for me. But I wasn't registering that I could do something about it. I kind of had resigned myself to accepting my fate. And yeah.
Was there, people often talk about, you know, the trigger moment or the thing that happened or whatever the catalyst was that, you know, said to them, actually, I need to talk to someone about this, or I need to get help, or I need to speak, you know, to get some kind of support service. Did you have that moment, or what sort of made you go and reach out, Mark?
Absolutely. I've had a number of moments across my time drinking, and, you know, it started early, and every time it would get worse. And really, you can go and ask for help at any of these moments. You don't have to have necessarily been arrested, or you don't have to have vandalized something or ended a relationship because of alcohol. If something bad happens and you think it's a problem, that is the right time. And for me, I just hit a rock bottom when I was living abroad. I went out a lot of the time on my own, drinking, then got involved in all sorts of drugs. It just became very apparent. And my girlfriend was about to leave me. Like, things were really starting to fall apart. And I Googled my first kind of contact with AA was, I Googled, can you go to Alcoholics Anonymous even if you're not an alcoholic? And I quickly found out that the very fact that I was probably Googling that probably meant that I was an alcoholic.
That was the point, or the moment, Mark, you knew that you needed some
It's a slow process, or it can be, you know, going from first asking for help and then kind of getting into the sort of flow of the help process. But there is so much help there, especially in Ireland now. I mean, there's so many young people who are ready to talk with anyone who is struggling, you know. The what you get out of AA is unbelievably powerful. And it's something I really and truly never would have thought possible even just about a year ago. So yeah, if you're struggling, I would highly, highly recommend reaching out if you think that you might have a problem.
I wonder, is it that the now, you know, say like yourself, 27, Mark, others 26, early 20s, is it that the 20-year-olds of today are better equipped and able to ask for help?
I think so. I think that's a part of it. I mean, there's a lot of awareness. I mean, everybody's online, everyone's on social media, and, you know, whatever flaws there are about social media, there's a lot to be gained in terms of just people being aware about, you know, just talking about their feelings, asking for help. I think when you see someone else doing something, it makes it a lot easier for you to do it, just so that you feel you're not alone. Just to know there's also people just like you that are out there.
Yeah. Stay with me, Mark, for a few moments. I think we have we've Sophie with us too on the line. Sophie, Mark's story resonates with you.
Ah, yeah, massively. Hi, thanks also for having me on. Yeah, definitely. I would have a very similar experience. In how I began drinking, you know, as a teenager, like most people, and as I got into my 20s, very similar, you know, other people started tapering off, and I just thought that I would get there, that eventually I'd reach the point of drinking like a lady, you know, and it wasn't the case, you know, and it's funny, I was very delusional about my drinking. That was the thing. Like, it was more my family who were telling me I had a problem, and I couldn't see I had a problem, you know, and it was quite coming out of that, like after maybe a year and a half of being in AA, did I actually eventually see the truth in that? But if I looked at the common denominator in my life, alcohol had completely taken over my life, you know, to the point where I thought I felt freedom when I dropped out of college, because it meant, oh, I could have more time to drink. You know, if that, like, that's not normal. But I didn't know that that wasn't normal, you know, because I did surround myself with people who drank like me. So for me, that was my only normal, you know. And then when I kind of, same with work, you know, when I kind of lost my job, basically, then it was like, oh, well, at least I can go on the dole and I have free money to drink, you know. Like, it's mad, the justification you make to yourself, you know.
Roughly what age bracket, Sophie, were you at the time when you sought help?
So I was 23 and I'm 33 now. So I'm nearly 11 years. I'll be 11 years sober in May. But I mean, it's funny how, like, comparing that, like, 10 year difference, where there wasn't much support really in some sense. Like, I think nowadays it's amazing how being sober is almost cool. Like, people are really into their fitness and health and, you know, all that sort of stuff, where people don't really want to go out and drink, and it's kind of normal to not drink, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, but for getting sober when I did, it wasn't easy. I found it really tough. I found it tough as well because I was like, how am I so young? How could I be an alcoholic? I'm 23. That's mad, you know? But really, it wasn't until I was in AA and was struggling living, to be honest, you know, I had no idea what alcoholism was. I had to learn that through the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, what it is to be alcoholic. And really, that's when I discovered what the illness is, you know, that it's a two-part illness of the physical allergy, the mental obsession. Do I have the physical component that every time I take a drink, I lose control, you know? And I had to start looking back at my drinking experience and seeing, oh my God, yeah. Like, there was a time where it was a habit. It was fun. I think that everyone can agree. Alcohol is a great lubricant. You can have great crack and stuff. But so why would I want to stop when it's so good, you know? But eventually a habit can become something more that it's hard to break, you know? And that's kind of what happened to me, you know?
How do you find socialising, going out, meeting the friends, I suppose, from when you were 23, now, Sophie, 11 years on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still friends with some of them, you know. I didn't have to lose all my friends just because I can't drink, you know. I think the big thing was for me, though, getting on the 12-step program, because I think what was difficult for me at the beginning was that I was fighting against myself, that I didn't want to be alcoholic, you know. And until I reached that place of conceding and surrendering, you know, because that's what step one is all about. It's surrendering to the fact that I can never drink again. So I need something to replace how I cope with life, you know. And I think I kind of felt when I first came in that, oh, I don't have to do anything, you know, that maybe just going to meetings is enough. But for someone like me, I needed a replacement, and that's what the 12 steps give me, you know, tools for living. And that's what it is, you know. And as a result, I love going out. I love dancing. I love being in clubs. I love all that environment, you know. And I can go out with friends who drink. But I know, like, as soon as they start slurring their words, I'm out of there. Like, I have no interest, you know. But it doesn't mean my life should stop just because I stopped drinking.
No, but it's great that you're still socializing. You've same friend group. All of that is a part of who you are 11 years on. For anybody maybe listening today, Mark, that's around your age, around that kind of 26, 27, and they feel that they need to reach out and get help, what sort of words of encouragement would you have for them?
I would say, you know, if you're suspicious, or if you even think, you know, if you say to yourself, I have a problem with drink, I would just consider reaching out. Even if it doesn't seem extreme to you in the moment, even if you're telling yourself, ah, yeah, but sure, you know, half of my friends are like this too. If you on the inside feel like things aren't going well and that your drinking is getting worse and worse, you know, I would not hesitate. And there's kind of an assumption we all have when we hear the word alcoholic. You know, you might think you're too young to be an alcoholic, or you might think, you need to wake up and have a bottle of vodka. At that point, you'll be an alcoholic. But the truth is, it's a little more blurry than that. And the seeds of alcoholism, they're planted very early, long before you even realize it. So if there's any suspicions there, if you've hit a few low points, I would just encourage you either to find out online, wherever you're living, there will be meetings in your area. You can reach out there. And when you go to a meeting, you'll quickly see that there are hundreds of people who would love to help you and to help guide you through whatever it is you're going through.
The number is 01842 0777 if people do want to get in touch or reach out to the AA. Mark and Sophie, listen, thanks a million to you both for sharing your story here, your experience with us actually on the programme. Niamh, just finally, the conference we mentioned that's in Clare, it's the end of February, isn't it, that focuses on this?
Yeah, it's in the Falls Hotel in Innisfilan, and it's on Friday the 28th of February to March the 2nd. People can get information on ireypaa.ie, or I can give you my number and you can hand it out to people afterwards. What I'd like to say as well is that we're having a meeting on Friday the 28th at 8:30, and that's for anybody who's interested in the subject of alcoholism. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even if you don't think you have a drink, or you're a family member, or your brother, your sister, your mother, your daughter, whatever, you know, or even if it's you and you want to come along and just have a look at us and see what we're on about, sure, come along. You know what I mean? Somebody will put out the hand and greet you.
Okay.
You know
all right.
I mean?
Well, listen, Niamh, thanks.
Somebody will be there for you.
Thanks a million for sharing that with us today in the programme. Niamh, Mark, Sophie, again, thanks for your time. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.